federal agencies obligated more than $18 billion in spending against the General Services Administration's Alliant Government-Wide Acquisition Contract, GWAC, for IT services over the last 5 years. And one vendor got more than 10% of that revenue. In his biweekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller writes about the winners under Alliant and other trends that might surprise you. He joins me now to discuss. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so you got to tell us, who got 10% of all the revenue? That's huge.
That is huge. It was really impressive. Now, this is according to a blog from a gentleman by the name of Mark Voetman, who's the CFO of a company called GovTribe. And GovTribe is a startup in the market intelligence world, and we have a link to his blog on federalnewsradio.com. And he writes about Alliant and the fact that SAIC has won $1.6 billion worth of task orders across 42 task orders since basically the contract began. And then the other piece of it is that this is also information coming from Mary Davies' blog at the same time from Gavini. So it's really interesting. You have these two different blogs writing about Alliant at the same time and giving SAIC a lot of kudos for winning so much. 1.6 billion out of 18 billion. Now, I'm no math major, so it's just under 10% if my math is correct. And that in itself is impressive. Now, the other thing is, if you think about, well, who else has done well? And again, referring back to Mary Davies' blog, Booz Allen Hamilton was second with about $720 million, and Northrop Grumman was third with about $550 million. So you can see there's a huge difference between $1.6 billion in first place and $720 million in second place.
All right, so this is a contract that has done pretty well. Now, what you write also, and according to Mary Davies, it dropped a little bit in 11 and 12, but last year, I guess the first year, the latest year they have the numbers for, or 2014 rather, it's up back up on the rise again.
Correct. Now, what we've seen over the last few years is, you know, we had this huge spending push in 2010, and then the data shows 11 dropped a huge drop, 12 it came back up, 13 it came back up, and 14 it's back up even higher. And I think that just part of the reason is agency spending. You had budget cuts and sequestration jumped in, obviously, and that impacted not just GSA and Alliant, but really every agency and how they were spending. So it's a very interesting trend about what's happening across Alliant. Now, at the same time, there's a few other things that are popping up that are really, you know, when you look at the data, the way both GovTribe did and Mary Davies presents it. First of all, GovTribe says, look at where the money is being spent. And Alliant is you see the upswing. Perfect. Good. You know, that's great for GSA and Alliant. But you have other agencies, and I think we've written about this time and again over the last 4 or 5 years, Tom. This shows the proliferation of these multiple award contracts, specifically for IT services, remains, if you will, I'll call it a problem in government. If not, you know, we could get more sincere and say it's out of control. But SAIC has also won a contract from State Department called their Vanguard contract. This is an IT services contract as well. And State has won, you know, it was a $2.5 billion contract back in 2010. We wrote about it when they won it. So they are doing well both in Alliant IT services, they have the State Department, and then GovTribe also writes about other multiple award contracts from DHS that are big, and all these continue to proliferate, and SAIC continues to do quite well, which leaves GovTribe to say, well, you know, if you're looking for subcontracting opportunities, there's somebody who you may want to start talking to and figure out how to get inside, you know, what they're looking for, what their needs are, how do you help them. Now, this goes back to my point that I've been on my soapbox now for about 4 or 5 years that Mary Davies probably, if she's listening, does not want to hear me talk about. But if you're a subcontractor and you're not on a line and you're not on the Vanguard contract, you have no way to see what those task orders look like to see where you potentially could participate. Because GSA and most agencies, every agency, hides the task orders behind, I'll call this iron curtain, where you can't see what they're offering. Now, you can't bid on it if you're not on the contract, but there's no reason, there's absolutely no reason for an unclassified contract not to be made public, a task order that you should not be able to read at least. And this is, I think, a shortcoming across the entire contracting community.
Well, we'll talk more about that, but first I wanted to ask you to this, Jason, your current show now, Ask the CIO with Joe Paiva of the ITA at Commerce, is all about how he's switching from buying commodity IT products and data centers and so forth, and switching to IT as a service. And so wouldn't that be emblematic of what's going on across government as people are buying more services? Wouldn't it stand to reason that contracts like Alliant are getting much more business?
Absolutely. And the rise in cloud computing, I haven't looked at the statistics recently, but I think back in 2013, we reported that more agencies were going to Alliant to buy cloud services than going to GSA's own cloud services contracts. Interesting. Acculent won a big BPA, $100 million BPA recently from GSA to provide cloud services. And I asked them, I said, well, was this done through Alliant? Was this full and open? And they said, well, it was done through Schedule 70. So even GSA is not using their own email as a service, infrastructure as a service. They're still looking for that integrator approach to buying cloud services. And I think that's why Alliant has been doing so well, because they do provide that full functionality of integration services.
And tell us more about that iron curtain, as you put it, that's in front of the task orders. Why shouldn't that be totally transparent information?
I don't know. That's a question I keep asking. And when I've heard from different people at GSA, there's a lot of people say, no, we agree with you. We just can't get it past the lawyers, or the contracting officers don't want to do it. And my rationale has always been this. You should not be able to bid on Schedule 70 task orders or any of the schedules, whether it's 84 or whichever one, or a soup contract or a Alliant contract. You shouldn't be able to bid if you're not on a contract, but there's absolutely no reason for you not to be able to see what's on those contracts. And I know there's some people in the community who disagree with me, saying if you win a spot, that's your reward, at least to be able to see it. But when you look at what's happening across FedBizOps, which is the full and open competition, you can see everything there, and nothing ever gets hurt when you can see everything there. So it seems to me there's no reason why you can't see. I shouldn't be able to have access to GSA Advantage or eBuy to see what's out there. I shouldn't be able to have access to whether it's Treasury of the Tips program or DHS Eagle 2 program. I should be able to see the task orders. And no one's ever been able to explain to me rationally why not. Why wouldn't that make sense?
Well, I don't think there is a rational explanation. They just don't want to tell you, and that's it. It's their marbles, I guess, which is not really a rational argument.
Well, that's why I say I get on my soapbox for a couple times a year about this.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And what's going on with the follow-on GWAC, Alliant 2?
Now, this is interesting. This has been in the works now for, it feels like, at least a year or more. And quietly, GSA extended the original Alliant contract actually through April 30th, 2019. That was actually news to me. Now, they did this obviously almost a year ago, but I don't think anyone wrote about it or really talked too much about it. So Alliant 2, according to GSA's schedule, as of December, they expect to issue a draft RFP in March timeframe, and then a second draft sometime in the May through August timeframe after incorporating the first round of industry feedback, and then a final RFP sometime in the October-November timeframe. So they're really preparing for that part two, figuring out, again, about where cloud fits in, where big data fits in, all mobile fits in, all the big buzzwords. And then so something to look out for, I think, over the course of 2015 to see where they go with Alliant 2. But that's something that's, again, another big GWAC I think everybody, all the major integrators, all the major contractors will be following.
Now, doesn't it have a unrestricted piece and a small business piece?
Correct. And I think this is, they're not making they are doing an Alliant 2 small business and an Alliant 2 unrestricted, but they're not making a differentiation between the timetables yet.
And that seems to be the pattern, is to put out an RFP or an RFI, rather, and then get some industry feedback, quickly turn it around, do a second one, and then move quickly from there to the bid proposals. And that seems to cut down the number of eventual protests they have. Is that the strategy there?
I mean, that's the hope, is by talking to enough people in industry and everyone kind of being on a fair playing field, so everyone understands where they're going with it, what they're trying to do with it, what are the goals that they are meeting, not just the goals of the agencies, but also ensuring the vendors know, okay, this is what they're expecting from it and there's no surprises. Unfortunately, when you have a huge contract like Alliant or Alliant 2, you're going to face a protest. People just get upset when they lose, and they feel like, if I don't get it on this contract, I'm going to be cut out of a huge market. Again, I think another problem with the proliferation of these multiple award contracts is the fact that vendors feel like they got to be on them all versus just, well, I'm going to strategically say, well, I'm going to bid on X and leave Y alone because I'm going to do really well on X. I think that's part of this issue that the OFPP hasn't solved yet, even with the attempt to, through requiring business cases for multiple work contracts.
Well, you don't want to have your grain in the trough that none of the horses come to, and sometimes one GWAC is really popular and the other ones sometimes languish.
I think that's one of the challenges, and it goes back to with the schedules and the way people buy, and then when you look at all the agile development that they're doing, do they really need these types of GWACs anymore? I think the answer is yes to a certain extent, but so many adds to the complexity of trying to get your work done.
All right, and I wanted to also ask you about something else in your column. There's an interesting RFP from the Federal Highway Administration, a request for information, I should say, for cloud services that takes it a little bit beyond what we've seen agencies asking for in cloud services. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, this was interesting. I think I found this on I don't know if it was a Twitter feed or if I found it just through an email from somebody, but I went back and looked at this, and the Federal Highway Administration, they are looking for cloud services, and I'm just going to read it real quick, Tom. Basically, they have a ton of data that's posted on public servers, many times multiple public servers, many times they're not integrated. You can't do a lot of data analysis through it, and what they really want is a cloud provider to come in and say, or an integrator to come in and say, we'll take your data, we'll put it in the cloud, we'll make it accessible, we'll pull it from all these disparate databases and really give you almost a data warehouse type of approach, yet you still, the Federal Highway Administration still owns the data. And I think that's the key piece here, and they were very clear in their RFI. The other thing that this relates back to is the Transportation Department is one of the first agencies with a chief data officer. I know we've talked about this before, but I'm going to highlight this again, Tom. The CDO, that's something people should keep in mind as we head into 2015 and beyond. The CDO, you'll hear a lot about other agencies following suit. And I think Dan Morgan, who is the Transportation Chief Data Officer, he has said, well, I'm going to put together a framework that's going to focus on the quality of the data. And I would say that this RFI really does tag back to a lot of the work that not only he's doing, but this focus on business analysis, the ability to put open data out there and let other people take advantage of all this highway data. It's a fascinating RFI. I would definitely recommend, if you're in that market, if you're interested in data, that's worth reading.
And by the way, I guess the letter D as in data is one of the last letters in the alphabet to be put between C and O. That's still unique.
I think there's a few left. We have CIO, CFO, CAO. We got a few of them left, right?
I think there's a few letters. And very quickly, there's a new, there's somebody leaving Secret Service as CIO. Tell us about what's going on there.
You got a couple job openings in the federal CIO community. The Secret Service is one of them. You're absolutely right there.
Scott Craig. Just sacked, right?
Say again?
That the CIO of the Secret Service was just sacked by Clancy, right? By the director, acting director Clancy?
I have to be honest, Tom, I'm not sure. I cannot find any writings about that on the web or anything. I just know they have a job opening. Scott Craig was the CIO for 4 years there. He left sometime in 2014 to be the deputy CTO at the Federal Thrift Investment Retirement Board. And it's now they have a job posting up there. So if people are looking for a new job in the CIO community, that's a pretty interesting one, I would have to say. But there's other jobs that are opening too. The Federal Trade Commission, Bajinder Pal, the CIO there, he recently left to join the Federal Reserve Bank. So they have a job opening on the street as well. So we see, again, I wrote about this just earlier in January, the turnover of CIOs continues to kind of churn. Not so surprising, people turn over all the time in government. But Tom, I'm telling you, man, this is like, 25, 26 CIOs, maybe even more, who have left government over the last, year and a half now. So there's a lot of change going on.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. You can read his column inside the Reporter's Notebook today, posted just now at federalnewsradio.com. Jason, thanks for joining me.
Always a pleasure, Tom.